Hello English Podcast, a podcast for EFL learners and teachers. Everyone, this is one more episode of the Follow English podcast. Today is December the 19th, Friday 2014. It's Friday, thank God it's Friday. I'm Marcos Gazana and I'm speaking from the south of Brazil. I'm speaking from Porto Alegre. Today I'm going to be speaking about IELTS, more specifically about the speaking test or the interview. I'm going to be speaking about the part one, the first part of the test. And as you might know, the speaking test is divided into three parts. Before I start, I would also like to remind you that I have already recorded, published two episodes about IELTS. The first one is episode 15, in which I give a general overview of the test. I talk about the whole test, the listening, the different parts of the test. Listening, the reading, the writing, and the speaking. And episode 47, in which I talk about the writing task 1. More specifically, I give tips about how to do well in writing task 1. That's for the academic version. So you might want to have a look to listen to those two episodes before you listen to this one or after you listen to this one. So today I'm going to be speaking basically about the speaking test, in more specifically about speaking test part one. As you know, IELTS is an international test, and whenever we do a test like IELTS, we're always nervous. There is no chance you can relax, and it's good to prepare well for the test. It's good to know about the different parts of the test, what you're supposed to do. That's why I think it's a useful podcast episode for those, especially for those who are preparing for the IELTS. So I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to give you six tips, or if you want to call them do's and don'ts. So I'm going to talk about six different points and make some comments about them. And then at the end of the episode, I will quickly recap the six points so that you have a more, more concise view of how to address the six points that I'm going to be speaking about. So the first one, tip is try to relax. Don't get to the venue just before the interview, you know. In trying to relax here means it's not only related to the test itself, but it will help if you get to the venue early, if you try to sit down and relax, if you have some water, and if you even maybe you can talk to some other candidates, and you know, to get down to the atmosphere that you have there at the test venue. Sometimes if you arrive just before the interview, you might have to rush into the room, and then that's not a good idea. It's always a good idea to sit down, to look around and to see where you are, what you're going to be doing. Try to remember some linking words maybe, or try to relax. Yeah, and remember that the speaking test is divided into three parts. In part one, you are asked a number of familiar questions on familiar topics, and the main objective of these questions is exactly to try to get all the candidates to get them relaxed, to make them feel more relaxed and more ready for the most difficult parts of the test, which are parts 2 and 3. So this is tip number one, try to relax. Tip number two is try to speak clearly and if possible, to sound confident. If you don't feel confident, at least try to sound confident. In speaking clearly here, what do I mean by that? I mean that you should try to articulate the sounds clearly, and this will, as you know, you are being judged not only on about your fluency, but also pronunciation and use of grammar. So different if you are able to use a wide range of grammatical structures and vocabulary as well. So it's a good idea to avoid, you know, don't try to speak fast, because fluency is not only related to your speed or delivery rates or to the speed you deliver the information you want to give, the how fast you speak. Fluency is also related to how you link the sentences, and if you want to link the sentences well, I think it's a good idea to speak at a normal rate or at a natural rate. I like to use the word here, natural. Try to speak naturally, and if you speak naturally, you will end up speaking clearly. Just try to articulate the sounds clearly as well. Tip number three is use conversational fillers to give yourself time to prepare what you will say. And in that way, you can also avoid long pauses. So if you are asked a question and you, wow, what am I going, and you're thinking, oh, what am I going to say now? Give yourself some time by using some fillers. And by fillers, I mean words like, well, or let me think, or even, that's a good question, or, well, I've never thought about that, but... So you see, these conversational fillers, they give you a couple of seconds, and you might think that, well, okay, but a couple of seconds won't make much of a difference. But when we talk about how our brain is processing information, a couple of seconds might be a long time, you know? So using conversational fillers will give you the time you need, at least to be able to think about a more creative answer to the question. Tip number four is don't worry too much about your answer, I mean about the content of your answer. There is never a perfect answer. In what the examiners are assessing is not what you say or your opinion about something, but rather how you say it. And also the range of structures and vocabulary that you're using to say it. Of course, here tip number four is, I hope you don't misunderstand what I mean by don't worry too much about your answer. Of course, it's a good idea to give a more creative answer, but on the other hand, it's not a good idea to have a long pause before you start answering the questions. So avoid long pauses, and if they ask you, for instance, what do you like doing on your weekend or in your free time, then don't worry too much about the perfect answer. Just say something that comes to your mind. And try to link those ideas. Maybe if you remember something along the way, then you can go and complement with whatever you thought about. So initially, try to start your answer right away. Tip number five is try to use a wide range of vocabulary and grammatical structures. I know this is not an easy job. It's easy to say, okay, use a wide range of vocab, but... maybe when you are nervous and you are there doing the test, the words won't come, and you will end up using more basic vocab in very simple structures. But of course, you can practice that by trying to use specific structures when you talk about specific topics. You can practice that before the day of the test. It's a nice idea here. I think tip number five is also linked to what I'm going to say in tip number six, which is the last one. it's a nice idea to avoid being repetitive. So if you notice that you are becoming repetitive, it's better to stop answering and say, well, that's what I think about this, or that's it, or that's what I had to say, or something like that, and wait for the next coming question. As I told you before, part one of the test is a series of questions on familiar topics. So don't worry too much about each individual question. If that's maybe not the best question for you, you can answer it quickly and move on to the next question, which might be a better one. It might give you the opportunity to use a wider range of structures, of grammatical structures and also vocabulary. So this is it for tip number five. Tip number six is about time. Yeah, it's about how, or rather about the length of your answers. As I said before, avoid very short answers. So short answers like, for instance, do you prefer to eat out or to cook at home? And then you just say, oh, I prefer to eat out. No, avoid doing that. Always try to give reasons to what you say. And it's also a good idea to avoid long answers because you might start becoming repetitive if you go on about the same topic for a long time. So avoid short and at the same time avoid long answers. I know that maybe giving you numbers or the number of seconds you should spend in each answer maybe is not the best idea, you know. I don't think that will solve your problem because when you are doing the task, you won't be able to look at your watch and have and control the time and okay, I've done 12 seconds, then I should stop now. You won't be able to do that. But I would say, I have to give you something. So I would say that an answer which is not too short, so not below, let's say, 10 seconds, if I could say 10 seconds is short, but let's say if you're answering the question plus giving the reasons for that, at least you would, let's say reasonably, you would take 10 seconds. And long answers would be longer than, let's say, 25 or maybe 30 seconds, because as you are supposed to answer a series of questions in part one, you don't want to go too far in one specific question, as you don't want to dry out or to become repetitive, or, you know, and you don't want to, you want to keep having the opportunity of using a wide range of grammatical structures and vocabulary. So you should go on and get another question. I hope these tips here were useful for you. I'm going to briefly recap. Now I'm not going to give you a long explanation again, but I'm going to go over them one by one very quickly. Tip number one is try to relax, get to the venue early. Tip number two, try to speak clearly and sound confident, articulate sounds well, and so on. Tip number three, use conversational fillers to give yourself time to prepare what you're going to say. Tip number four, don't worry too much about the content of each individual answer. They're not judging what you're saying, but how you're saying it. Tip number five, try to use a wide range of vocabulary and grammatical structures. Of course, the wider the range, the better the score you will get, you know, the higher the score you will get. And tip number six, avoid very short and at the same time very long answers. So these are my top six, let's say, or not top, but six important tips, or do's and don'ts, if you prefer to call them so. About IELTS speaking test part one. I hope you do well if you have to take the test, and try to prepare for the test and try to study some linking words and conversational fillers that you can use. And that's it. Before I finish, I would like to remind you that the webpage for this podcast is at pod.followenglish.com.br. You can go to the webpage, you can add your email to the email list, and then you will get a notification every time there is a new episode out there. You can also subscribe via iTunes or Stitcher or any other podcatcher that you might be using to reach us. And again, thank you very much for listening. I hope you all do well in your IELTS test. And that's it. See you next time. Bye.